And thank you. You may be seated. And I'm going to go quickly through our introduction here. In Revelation 4 and 5, the reader is brought into the heavenly scene. We looked at that over the last couple of weeks here. Revelation 4 and 5, the reader is brought into the heavenly scene. The throne of God is there. Amen. That is the subject, the primary word of Revelation chapter 4, the throne. The judgment seat of Christ has taken place. We looked at that and we found in Revelation chapter 4 that the elders, representative of the church, are wearing crowns, and at the end of the chapter they cast their crowns at the Savior's feet. Amen. They receive those crowns, we believe, at the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll all be judged, not only for our works, but for our motives. Amen. And all of heaven has been made aware that there is one who is worthy to open the seven sealed book. And they worship him accordingly. Heaven is going to be the worship of God. And he alone is worthy of worship. Amen. The worthy one is worshiped. Someone had said, worship is worth-ship. Amen. That someone is worthy of being worshipped, and only our Savior is. Amen. And they worship Him accordingly. Revelation 6 through 18 deals with the subject of the tribulation. I think we'll probably take at least a week, maybe two, and discuss the tribulation, do some study on that before we actually start into the events there. However, before the reader leaves heaven and descends back to earth to witness the awe-inspiring judgments of God, let us look ever so briefly at the titles of our Lord in Revelation. The titles of our Lord in Revelation. And so you can go back, follow along, amen. Revelation chapter 1, 5, there are four titles given. The first four points here, so if you want to just slip your pages back there to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And the first title that we have given of our Savior is simply the name. Verse 5 of Revelation 1 says, and from Jesus Christ, amen. Jesus Christ. That is the first title that we have of our Savior in Revelation. Jesus. Philippians 2:9 says that it's a name above every other name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Jesus, Jehovah our Savior is what it means. Jehovah our Savior. And then Christ, a messianic term meaning the anointed one. The first title that we see there is Jesus Christ, and it is a beautiful title, a beautiful name, amen. To those who love Him, it is a beautiful name. To those who hate Him, it's a curse word, Brother Boston. It's something you say when you bang your thumb. Oh, but not to those of us that love Him. We see Him, Jehovah our Savior, the anointed one, Jesus Christ, amen. Number two, and moving quickly, we see not only He is called Jesus Christ, but He is called the faithful witness in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. The faithful witness. A faithful witness tells what they have seen. And our Savior has seen it all. He's been there for all of it. Amen. Therefore, He is the faithful witness. Amen. Number three, also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, He's called the first begotten of the dead. The first begotten of the dead. We know that in the Old Testament, there were those that were restored, if we should say it that way. We have three restorations in the New Testament. Jairus' daughter, the widow's only son of Nain, and Lazarus. And I say restored because, ladies and gentlemen, they died again. But our Savior is the first begotten of the dead. Our Savior was the first to be resurrected from the dead. As 1 Corinthians 15 says, He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Amen. What a great title. The first begotten of the dead. And then number four, also in Revelation 1:5, He is the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. the prince of the kings of the earth. He is the one who will rightly possess all the kingdoms. Amen. Thank God for our Savior. He's Jesus Christ. He's the faithful witness. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's the prince of the kings of earth. If you jump down to verse 8, we're introduced here to two more titles that we see. He said here, I am Alpha and Omega. Amen. Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, whereas Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet, thus signifying that Jesus is just as much of beginning as He is ending. He's without beginning and without ending. Amen. And it says that right in the next title in verse 8. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. It says there, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. As title is also found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, and Revelation 22, 13. The eternality of our Lord is seen in this title. As we just mentioned, He was there before the beginning, and He will be there long after the end. It's hard for us to imagine that our God is not bound by time. Those of us finite creatures who live in time, we live in these seconds and minutes and days and weeks and months and years. And for some, God has blessed you with great life, 70 and 80 years. Praise God. But the Bible says that 1,000 years are as one day with our Lord. And a day is 1,000 years. He's the beginning and the end. Also in verse number 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He is called the Almighty. I have the wrong reference there. I believe it's chapter 4, verse 8. I know it is. It's in there. I got the wrong reference there. I hate that when I do that. Amen. Oh no, I'm sorry. It is at the end of verse 8. I was looking at the wrong verse. It says there that He which is and which was and which is to come. Boy, that water's working, Brother Tom. Amen. And it says here, He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty. He is Almighty in power and sustaining resources. Don't forget that, senior saint, as you begin to lose your strength. He's Almighty. Amen. Don't forget that, those of you that are in the prime of health, if you have a difficult time trying to find a job, and listen, He's the Almighty in sustaining resources. Chapter 1, verse 11, He says there, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Used four different times, the first and the last. Again, He is described by His eternal existence. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. He is called, if you jump over to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, three titles here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, as He's introducing Himself to that lukewarm church, the church at Laodicea. He says, unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. I like what Brother Joel said at HymnFest. We're Baptists. We say Amen. We even sing Amen. The word Amen is translated 152 times in the New Testament. 101 times it is translated verily. The word verily. Jesus said verily, verily. 51 times it is translated Amen. It speaks of truth, the final word. Verily means truly. When Jesus was saying that, He would double verily. He'd say, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, what I'm about to say to you. Take notice. It's very true. Amen. He is the Amen. In verse 14 also, He's the faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness. This speaks of His conduct and His character. By the way, conduct always springs from character. Amen? How you conduct yourself is who you are. Amen? And Jesus can only possibly be faithful and true. Something else he's called here, the 11th title we see, he's called the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. He is the one with whom creation had its beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 1, verse 3. So he's called Jesus Christ. He's called the faithful witness. He's called the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty, the first and the last, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." He is called Lord God Almighty four different times. He is referred to here by His unimaginable power. Listen, this is where, ladies and gentlemen, if I could get away from the pulpit for a little bit, this is where the modern church has got it all wrong. He's not our buddy. He's not our pal. Amen. And thank God He's a friend to sinners. But holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Unimaginable power our Savior has. Thank God. If we go to Revelation chapter 5 and the titles we looked at tonight in our text, Revelation 5:5, He is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This speaks of the ensign and tribe of His human lineage. The symbol for the tribe of Judah was a lion on their flag. Their ensign, their banners that they held up was a lion. Cross-reference Genesis 49, 8 through 10, and Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, we find that Jesus, humanly speaking, came through the line of Judah. The lion is the symbol of three things, and you could come up with more, I'm sure. It's a symbol of strength. The lion is the king of the beasts. It's a symbol of majesty. Again, lion is the king of the beasts. And it's a symbol of dignity. Can we say our Lord is strong and all God's people said? Our Lord is majestic and all God's people said? And our Lord has such dignity. Next we have there, He's called the root and offspring of David. Again there, that's Revelation 5:5 and Revelation 22:16. Now that's the one I combine. One He's called the root of David, and one He's called the root and offspring of David. He is the one who was prophesied to come from this royal line. His credentials are correct. He is from the lineage of David. Amen. And then probably the title I think I love the most, and the most used title in Revelation, obviously will not look up all these references, but I would encourage you to, perhaps on your own, He's called the Lamb. The Lamb. And so much is said about the Lamb in Revelation. The most popular title of Revelation is used 27 times. And I love this. Think about this. Oh, the irony that Jesus' conquering image over the powerful dragon is a little slain lamb. It's the Lamb. Amen? The Lamb that conquers the dragon. Praise God for that. Why, Pastor? Why is that? God hath the foolish things to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in His presence. The slain lamb. Number 16 there in chapter 15, verse 3, if you go there with me quickly. Chapter 15, verse 3. I know I'm flying through this. Amen. I hope you'll take the time to go through these yourself. Look at each one of those. He is called in chapter 15, verse 3. It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. He is the King of the saints. He is certainly the King of every sanctified one. That's what a saint is. It's a sanctified one. One that has been set apart by God. That's what you are if you're saved. You're sanctified. You've been set apart by God. And ladies and gentlemen, He is our King. Amen. He's the King of the saints. 17:14, look at it there. We have two titles. And we recognize these also in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. Revelation 17:14 says, and these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. The first title there, Lord of lords. He is the ultimate authority. Amen? Do you ever have somebody you go to and it, maybe you have a question? I know I used to go to my dad. If I wanted to know something about European history, all I had to do was ask my dad. He knew it. He was the ultimate authority on that particular subject. He knew all about. Listen, Jesus Christ is so much more the ultimate authority. He is the Lord of the lords, and then next, He is the King of the kings. He is the King of kings. Ladies and gentlemen, it is before His throne that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's before His throne. He's the King of the kings. Another title used in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Beautiful title here, just as you get into this beautiful picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord God omnipotent. He is truly all powerful. That's what omnipotent means. All powerful. I was discussing today with Brother Gary as he came in, and he was asking me a question from the Bible, and we talked about how Satan has limited power, but God is all-powerful. Amen. Our Savior said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Chapter 19, verse 11, we've already dealt with this, so I don't have too much more to say on this, but certainly He is faithful and true. Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And then if you jump down to verse 13, it says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. By the way, it's interesting, John is the only one who calls Him by that title. But what a title of the only perfect expression of God, the Word of God. The Word of God. The last title I see here in Revelation chapter 22 is in verse 16. He's called the Bright and Morning Star. The Bright and Morning Star. I'm looking forward to when Brother Sammons does his series on the King James Bible in Sunday school coming up here. And I'm interested, Brother Sammons, the other versions, how Lucifer is identified as the Morning Star. Not so in your King James Bible. Only one is referred to as the Bright and Morning Star. He's the embodiment of the brightness of light and the purity of the morning. He is the star that is at the heart of all prophecy. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. I want you to go back to Revelation chapter 19. I want you to notice one more title. It's not a title, but I want you to see it. It's interesting. Revelation chapter 19, and look at verse number 13. Or verse number 12. It says, and His eyes were as a flame of fire, and He had on His head many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I don't know what that title is. I don't know what that name is. Nobody does. Only Jesus knows what it is. But I know this from all the other titles we looked at tonight. It's glorious. It's majestic. It's divine. And it's worthy of our worship. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, you are so wonderful. We love you. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. As thou hast been, thou forever shall be. Help us to worship you every day.